Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, it's Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast. It's Tuesday, July 19th. Now to our climate story of the week. We're looking to Europe this time, where an unprecedented heat wave is rolling across the continent. Today, 40 million Americans are under heat wave warnings, but within the last week, regions of Portugal, Spain, Wales, Ireland, and England have set record high temperatures. I mentioned it's 100 degrees in London right now. I think that's their hottest temperature ever, our guests will tell us. And this heat wave in Europe has led to a reported 1,000 deaths in Spain and Portugal and has ignited wildfires that are still raging across southwestern France, forcing thousands of people to flee their homes. The New York Times reports that even a French zoo has been forced to evacuate its animals due to the very unusual threats there of smoke and fire. Across the English Channel, officials in the UK have declared a state of emergency. Train lines in London were forced to reduce speeds or altogether cancel services due to concerns that the rails could buckle in the heat. And London's airport was forced to cancel flights after a stretch of tarmac may have melted. They obviously don't build for this heat over there like we do over here. And despite the blistering few days, Britain's Meteorological Society warned the temperatures are expected to continue climbing before this heat wave is over and hit nearly 42 degrees Celsius today in some places. That would be 108 degrees, more or less, Fahrenheit, 108 degrees. We're going to start by taking a call that has come in from Switzerland. Mari in Switzerland, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mari. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I think this is such an important topic. I was just hiking in the Alps today. It was the same hike I did a month ago. A month ago, there were four streams I had to cross, and today they all had dried up. And as I told your screener on Friday, I was hiking above the Alec Glacier, which is the largest glacier in the Alps. And it is shrinking at the rate of 50 meters per year. And there is a distinct mark you can see. Its high level, the previous century, was 200 meters higher than it is now. And throughout Europe, we are just seeing that climate change is devastating everything. And I keep thinking of the Joni Mitchell song, Big Yellow Taxi. Don't know what you've got until it's gone, you know?
I know. Mari, thank you for checking.
Oh, and the other thing ahead. I wanted to add, too, is that Americans might not realize nobody in Europe has air conditioning because it did not used to be this hot here in the summer. So, for example, for us here in Switzerland, where I live, it's 95 degrees Fahrenheit without air conditioning. And there are no stores with air conditioning. There's no place. I go down into my parking garage to try to cool off. So it really is dire.
How unusual is it for it to be 95 degrees where you are in Switzerland?
Well, in the last 10 years, not unusual. And in fact, I lived in Prague when there was the other heat wave that killed so many people. But up until like the last 10, 20 years, it just was unheard of.
Mari, thank you so much for checking in with us. We really appreciate it. Joining me now to discuss this historic heat in Europe and what climate change might have to do with it is Andrew Friedman, an energy and climate reporter for Axios. Andrew, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Can you walk us through the timeline of this heat wave? Where did it start and how has it been impacting UK and the mainland of the European continent, big picture?
So if you look at where this really started over Western and Northwestern Africa as a hot air mass gathered intensity, if you will, for many weeks. And then what happened was the weather pattern over Europe got sluggish, a little bit stuck in place by the jet streams That in itself is suspicious to climate scientists because we are seeing more stuck weather patterns around the world, especially in the summer. And that's thought to be related to climate change. But between a high pressure area over Central Europe, also known as a heat dome, and a low pressure area west of Spain and Portugal, you just had this funnel effect that carried that hot air mass, which has a Saharan type influence. This is, you know, ultra hot air, funneled it northward. So first to be hit were Spain and Portugal. Portugal, we had temperatures up over 116 degrees Fahrenheit. They were setting all-time temperature records. Spain was setting all-time temperature records. We had the fires, which are still burning. That moved into France, and they've been dealing with it for at least a week, especially in the southwestern part of the country with the wildfires. And mercifully, the country that is least prepared for this, which is the UK, has not had to deal with it for as long as these other countries have. But the heat has been intense to the point where climate scientists that I've been talking to in the past couple of days have said they are sort of walking around in a state of shock when they saw the computer models projecting 40 degrees C in UK. They didn't quite believe it because that's never happened before. And that's been projected before, but never happened. And now what we're seeing is the combination of natural variability, human-caused climate change, and other factors such as these stuck patterns where you get feedbacks between drought and heat. Same thing that we get out west in the United States that is happening in Europe, that accelerates the heat, that makes it even hotter.
And I'm looking at the CNBC website right now, which says Britain, in fact, recorded its hottest day ever today, with temperatures hitting a high of 40.2 degrees Celsius, which is 104.4 degrees Fahrenheit in South England, according to provisional data from the Met office there. And it says millions of Brits endured the country's hottest ever night last night, with temperatures remaining above 25 degrees Celsius in places. And to bring this from weather to climate, I guess it goes back to what our caller from Switzerland, I don't know if you were able to hear her as you were getting hooked up, was talking about, and that's the longer term picture. Okay, a freak heat wave could happen without climate change, but it's what's happening year after year after year after year that for the moment has culminated in this, and we don't know where it's going to go next, right?
Yeah, so you have the long-term climate change influence, which is unmistakable. But what's really happening now is that we are seeing extreme events such as this one. The closest example that I would give for this one in the United States is the Pacific Northwest event of last year, which studies showed was virtually impossible without global warming, without human-caused global warming. And the way that I look at this, the way that scientists are looking at this particular event now, is that 40 degrees C, actually a little bit higher than 40 C, we're seeing several locations at 40.2, 40.3.
That's over, in the UK. Over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Uh-huh.
Yeah, over 104 Fahrenheit. And those temperatures, it is thought, would be impossible without the influence of human-caused climate change due to emissions of greenhouse gases.
Lula in Red Bank, New Jersey, originally from Portugal. You're on WNYC. Hi, Lula.
Hi, this is Lula. I am original from Portugal. I live in New Jersey. Yes, it has been so hot that people are dying. In a country of about 10 to 11 million people, it's estimated that about 700 people died related with heat wave just in the last few days alone. It's just incredible. My family, some of members of my family, like my siblings, are saying that they can't sleep. They can't. It's just horrible. This is after a very bad drought. They didn't have any rain last winter. And now the heat wave is just horrible. This is climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it. It's happening.
Lula, thank you so much for your call and that unfortunate report from the front. Is it Spain and Portugal, Andrew, according to your reporting, as I've read, that's having the worst of the death toll from this heat wave?
Yeah, it's Spain and Portugal that we know the most about regarding the death toll, because it takes a while to find out the death toll from extreme heat events for a variety of reasons. So we do not know the French toll, but I suspect it will be relatively high. Most experts that I've talked to on the public health and climate side are expecting a potential for a five-figure death toll from this event from all the countries that it's been affecting. And it is moving into Germany now. And some other countries that are not that accustomed to extreme heat. So, yeah, the death toll is highest in those two countries, but it's mostly because that's where we have the best idea of what the fatalities were so far.
And I guess another indication of how historically new this is what we also heard from our caller from Switzerland, that there just isn't the air conditioning infrastructure that we have, even in relatively northern cities like New York in this country, because they just don't get these temperatures or didn't in the past. I imagine that contributes to the death toll as well as just extreme discomfort.
It does. It does. And then you have the issue of, well, if we do boost cooling in these regions, which is probably going to be necessary, you have to do it in a way that doesn't add too much to the energy demand, you know, which is obviously a big concern right now in Europe with the war in Ukraine, as well as increasing carbon pollution. There's that strange, you know, effect as well. But the air conditioning rate in the UK is around 3% of households that have it.
Allegra in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Allegra.
Hi there. I just wanted to say that I think we often forget that the government in Europe has the power to pass actionable climate legislation that would help the likelihood of extreme heat and climate disasters. And France, for example, is doing that. They're nationalizing their energy industry and investing like something, I think like $10 billion in renewables. And I think it would be great if the United States could do that and the rest of Europe could do that. There's a lot of work to be done, but I just wanted to say that.
Allegra, thank you very much. Yeah, and this is happening in Europe, which is generally considered the part of the world that's been most responsive to climate legislation, more so than the United States, more so than China, and other major emitters. So where does that intersect with the actual heat that they're experiencing?
You know, in a normal year, I would say that it would give even more support to sweeping proposals. They did adopt a very sweeping plan EU-wide that is going to try to take them off fossil fuels as quickly as possible. This is partly a national security imperative, but also an environmental related solution. However, what's going on right now is they need enough natural gas to get through next winter because they're expecting Russia to cut them off. So they're securing deals from around the world for more natural gas, which is a fossil fuel that releases greenhouse gases when burned. And some of these deals last quite a while. They're not just one-year deals. So there's a fear among many in the environmental community that Europe may actually backslide a little bit in their climate commitments due to greater investment in natural gas. It may only be a slight backsliding, but when you're looking at where the science says we need to be in taking action and where we actually are, even slight amounts of slowing down the pace of action have a significant impact on what we're going to experience and the frequency of events such as this.
We have a minute left. Can you do a little more science for us? Because I know you recently reported on heat domes. So what are heat domes and why are they particularly affecting Western Europe right now?
Yeah, so a heat dome can be thought of as sort of this protective bubble over an area. And within that region, the air is predominantly sinking. And as it sinks, it warms. And it also discourages the formation of cloud cover. And then any storm that tries to come into that area gets blocked, like a football player protecting a quarterback, and rerouted around the region. And we're seeing more of these heat domes in Europe, in part, according to a recent study, because of shifts in the jet stream downwind of Europe that are allowing high pressure systems to sit and circulate longer and build up these strong heat domes that then bring you week to 2 week long extreme heat events.
And that is our climate story of the week. We thank Andrew Friedman, an energy and climate reporter at Axios, on the record heat in Europe. Andrew, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.